Can you hear the music at least?
I can't.
I don't think you could hear it last time either, could you?
I could hear it last time, not this time. But that's alright. I'm gonna pretend I remember the beat so I can just kinda like. Alright.
Yeah, alright.
Alright.
Fuck, I should have grabbed a drink.
You should have. That's on you.
All right, welcome back to another episode of On the Throne with Dick. Man, I should have got a drink. I just tasted these.
Okay,
drinks.
Dude, go do it. Just go do it.
We've come too far.
No, we haven't. We're 44 seconds in. We're not that far.
We've come too far.
Okay, that's on you, man.
We've come too far. Yeah. No, I can't do it. I had one earlier already. I'm a lunch. Yeah.
Okay, fair enough. I love that for you.
Yeah. Welcome back. You know, shout out to Senjin Boychuk. And man, I'm pumped. You know, one of my favorite people I've ever had on the podcast. We're getting her back on. Like, she's here. It's Leanna. Last time, I can't remember what her name was. It was something to do with
It was your mom, yeah.
Mom? And this time
I was your mom.
Yeah. This time we got Nightwish. What's up?
That's right. Yeah, so it's great to be back. Wasn't expecting to do the podcast, but you know, you're like, what you doing? I'm like, here I am. Let's roll. Let's ball.
My favorite like podcast that like go down usually go like, hey, what are you doing in like 20 minutes? And you're like, I don't know, podcast, right? And like it was only an hour or so ago where I was like, hey, what are you doing tonight? Want to do a podcast? You're like, fuck it, let's do it.
That's literally what I said. I was like, you know what? Fuck it, let's do it. Perfect. Yeah, and I mean, I know that. You've been wanting to get me back on for a while now, but you know, like things get busy for sure. The whole Nightwish thing. So I don't know if your previous viewers are aware, or your current viewers are aware. One of the many things I do in the oil field is I do technical rope rescue, high angle rescue. So in our little group of high angle rescuers, we give each other a call sign. You're not allowed to give yourself a call sign. It has to be given to you.
Oh, shit.
It has to be given to you. It's kind of like just a term of endearment or a nickname. So we had one guy, his nickname was Decibel because he definitely did not have an inside voice. We have the governor who, he kind of like takes care of everything. We had another guy, his nickname was Pharaoh. And, Jin Wolf, stuff like that. So mine ended up being Nightwitch, which is what they gave to me because of, like, the Nightwitches in Russia, if you're familiar with them.
Not really.
How that happened. No. Oh, okay, yeah. So in World War II, we're going to go on a side quest here. So in World War II, there was a regiment of Russian females. It was all a female regiment. And what they would do, they were given these really shitty, like, World War I biplanes. And they were given these, like, you know, bombs and ammunition and stuff to bomb the German regiments. So what they would do is there'd be, like, a woman on each wing holding on to a bomb, a woman flying it. They would fly really high up, and then they would cut the engine. And then they would just silently glide above the regiment, drop their bombs, kick the engine in, and fuck right off. So the Germans started calling them Hexennachten, which means night witches, because the only way you could tell that they were coming, it sounded like a broom swishing on the floor as they glided in, dropped their shit, and took off. So that ended up becoming my call sign as a rope rescue.
You just swoop in unbeknownst to like your enemies and you just fuck them up or what?
Pretty much, I guess. Yeah, just silent but deadly.
That's funny. Like every single time we talk, I'm like just slapped with some interesting shit. You know what I mean? Like, that's why you're one of my favorite people.
I'm always glad to educate. So yeah, so that's why we got Nightwish going on right now. So
I love that. No, you know, one reason why I wanted to have you back on again, I don't know if anybody listening or you probably remember, man, my audio last time was dog shit. About 70 weeks ago, a year and a bit ago, you were on last, right? And like, man, my audio has gotten so much better since then. You know, like
it really has.
Oh my God,
Just me being able to hear you is like, I feel like we can have, you know, like a normal person conversation. It's almost like you're right here with me. Cause yeah, it was a little beat.
Yeah. My mic that I had at the time was starting to go. The cord in the back was starting to go weak. And I had to actually, I don't know if you remember seeing me hold it. I actually had to hold the cord.
I remember that you were in your camp room. Yeah. I remember that.
Yeah. Man, so that's wild. Sad news about that camp, by the way. I heard as of October 1st, that camp is no longer going to be a thing. They're moving all the guys in the
camp. Which camp was that?
It was in Fox Creek. It was just our own little camp that we had.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
7 years. I was in room 15. Room 15 was my room for 7 years. And, man, I haven't been there in a year and a bit now.
I understand you're back up in Fort Mac, right?
Yeah, in the winters, I'm back in Fort Mac. I do the road construction thing in the summertime and go do the Fort Mac thing in the wintertime. Yeah, man, that job was quite literally like landed in my lap last summer at the end of the road construction season. I was dreading going back to Fox Creek, and
I don't blame you, my man.
My boss that I have now, he messaged me and he's like, "Hey man, what are you doing?" I'm like, "On the road, getting ready to go back to Fox." And he's like, "Man, come work for me this winter." And he explained the job, he explained the money, the details and everything. And I had one request, no night shift. And he's like,
"So what were you doing for the winter job?"
So I was running a steam unit, a steamer operator.
Okay, cool. And I know that you recently were pretty laid up. You were on like light duty too, weren't you?
Yeah, I was. Yeah, you can't
fucking love that for you.
Duty. I was on fucking modified.
Oh, I'm a fucking class A creeper, my man.
Yeah, I was pretty open about it too. So I
mean,
I was on modified duties, laid up on the couch doing procedures and shit. I could tell you the fucking company procedures. Like the
oh man. And you probably did binders of SOPs, my man.
Oh my god. Oh my god. Yo,
like oh this, yeah.
I watched a lot of TV. I learned how to thrust with one leg. crazy. I got to experience my family in ways that I, you know, working on the road for 14 years, 13 years, I never got to.
And then
kids like that.
Yeah, now you were finally home for like a large portion of time, and it changes your fucking perspective, man. It really does.
It does. I was diagnosed with borderline personality disorder just before I got injured.
You know, love that for you.
See, I was
stuck. So you're afraid of abandonment, my man.
I'm not
gonna call you out in front of all these people, but yeah, okay, I see you.
My here, let's turn that up. My parents split when I was 6 years old, and my mom moved 8 hours away, and I barely ever got to see her, right? And then my dad was never there, right? And my dad, oh my god, yes, abandonment. I'm afraid of abandonment, dude. It's crazy. EPD, man, it's a wild ride, you know? And like,
if you feel abandoned, it'll trigger episodes, actually. So like, if you feel unsafe or you feel abandonment, it will trigger those BPD episodes, actually.
It does. So I've told this story a couple times in the podcast now. I was in Saskatoon in a hotel room there last month, and my wife and I, we kind of had a little bit of a disagreement, and she's like, "Hey, I can't talk to him now, you know, like give me 10 minutes, I'll call you back." And I'm like, no, you can't leave, you cannot leave this conversation.
It's like, oh, right? I know this too well, man.
I fucking spiraled so hard. And I ended up whipping my phone at the wall, putting a dent in the wall. And then I told her, I'm like, "Hey, like, I'm telling you, we don't need to talk about the issue. We just need to talk, right? We just need."
Yeah.
And then she realized, hey, his BBD. This is him having an episode, right? So she got on the phone. We talked, and I got better. And she's like, "Man, the hotel wall, huh?" And I'm like, "Okay, now picture, you know, before I realized what this was, and before I was vocal about it." And bottling it up, picture that, that phone rattling around the walls of my brain, right? I'd whip the phone, and it would just boom, 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 like a ping pong ball around my brain, right? And it was like that my entire life. I had no idea what that was. I just felt like I was an asshole or a prick or, you know, not supposed to be having these kind of big emotions. Then my wife and I, we had one hell of a year, and you know, just sitting around healing physically and right.
But also, like, just now that you have that awareness, just like even just having that diagnosis allows you to be emotionally aware of why you're feeling the way that you're feeling and what triggers those feelings.
Yeah, I had no idea I had a lot of that shit going on, right? And you know, it triggered a lot of emotional moments in itself, and you know, like a lot of tears and shit, right? And like, you know, a lot of men, you know, being a man with BPD is the stigma behind that is, let me tell you.
And we talked about this last time on the podcast too. Like, that just rots me. Absolutely.
Yeah, no, it was.
You guys are held to a different standard, and it's not fair.
It's been a wild year, you know. It's been emotionally freeing. I'll tell you that much. You know, like I the last couple years, I've had these nasty headaches, right? You know, I was trying to suppress how I was feeling, right? Just get these nasty headaches. The moment that I got that diagnosis, I started seeing videos on TikTok and Facebook and Instagram of these videos. And realizing, hey, I'm not the only one that feels that way and goes through this shit, right?
Not at all. You're not alone.
I felt understood. I felt connected. I felt, you know, like free, right? And those headaches, went, I haven't had a headache in forever, you know? Like, it was like, wow, man, this is crazy. And journaling, man, journaling. I talked about so much, man. Journaling has been like, my wife told me for years, you got to journal. My therapist then that I got this year, the podcast was sponsored by BetterHelp. You know, so I got free therapy and I utilized it. And, you know, journaling, man, was a big part of that. And wow, man, what a game changer.
That's what I hear. You know, I've always been afraid of journaling because it's like in my mind, somebody's always going to see it.
Yeah.
But, you know, but that just comes from like a situation of just not being safe, you know, because somebody always did.
Yeah.
So
I was in Ontario. Sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
I was in Ontario in May for my sister's wedding. And I got to spend, it was the first time in 4 years I'd been there. And I got to hang out with my mom for the first time in 4 years. And it would just happen to be Mother's Day. And it just made me so mad and angry. And it's crazy that I can explain what these feelings are. It made me mad. It made me.
Okay, I hate to interrupt, but do you use the feelings wheel?
No, I don't know what the feelings wheel is.
Because I just started using it because like me feeling, okay, no, wait, finish what you're going to say and then we'll talk about the feelings wheel. Go ahead.
Oh, it made me confused. It made me mad. It made me sad for her. It made me sad for me. And I was just feeling all this thing. I can't talk to my mom about it, right? She can't handle that shit, right? Like, that would put her in the hospital, right?
And but that's unhealed trauma on her end too, right?
Oh, fuck, 100%. I get that.
Right? We're the generation that are ending that shit.
Oh, man, you know, my kids aren't going to have to heal from me. You know what I mean? Like, they're 7 and 5, almost 8 and 5. They're not going to have to heal from us. We're healing our shit before it gets that far, right? And I love that. I absolutely love that. You know, my wife
absolutely.
My wife said to me, she's like, we need to heal. Like, cause she was going through her own shit too. She's like, we need to come together and heal. We've been together 20 years and all we've known is this chaos of each other. Right. And
yeah,
we need to come together and heal. And we need to experience each other as these healed adults instead of the broken kids we were when we got together. Right. And we had severe ADHD and anxiety. She got medicated for that. And like, I was able to have a conversation with my wife, look her in the eye and her not leave the room to escape it. She sat there and she like firmly planted on the floor and she talked to me. I was like, whoa. And that encouraged me. Well, she encouraged me to get help. And like, I was able to have those same conversations with her. I wasn't just like bottling my shit down and getting mad. I was like, hey, this is how I'm feeling, right? And this is what's going on.
Yeah.
And man, my wife and I, like the last 8 months, our relationship has been, you know, better than it's ever been, right? And that's crazy. That's crazy.
Right? It's amazing what communication does. Like, miscommunication will kill anything, whether it's a marriage, whether it's a project, whether it's a friendship, whether it's fucking anything.
Yeah.
Miscommunication before anything else will absolutely destroy something so much faster.
I'm going to clean the camera on this real quick. There we go.
And it's interesting that you said, like, so So we'll touch on this quick anyway. So last time you talked to me, I was newly married for 4 months. Now that we talk, I am newly separated for 2 months. It is what it is. I didn't make those choices. Well, I did, but I didn't. But anyway, so that being said, he also recently got diagnosed with the same condition. And looking back on it, that fear of abandonment, so like if we got into an argument or something like that, if it started feeling a little too much for me, I'd be like, okay, give me like 5 minutes. I got to go. Let me calm down, collect my thoughts, come back. Couldn't handle that. Couldn't handle it. Like we had to keep talking, right? And it wasn't necessarily abandonment. It was just, I need to clear my head. But we were coming at life from two different situations, right?
Yeah.
So such is life.
Wild, man.
But even like figuring your own shit out and medication, like I started taking medication for myself. I think it was, oh my God, 7 years ago, changes your life. If you can figure out what works for you. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's huge. I don't want to take medication. BPD, you can't really cure with medication.
It's not really.
Therapy and time, right? And learning the different types of therapy and shit. There's ways. You can take some therapy for some of the symptoms, maybe. But, like, that's... Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I don't want to get in it. I don't want to get down the whole
thing. But that goes to what we were originally saying. So the feelings wheel, and this was also a game changer. So anybody listening to this, even you yourself, it might make a difference. Is so like I have post-traumatic stress disorder just because of, you know, previous jobs, previous situations. So I mean, it was like it's essentially it's like when you're working with the military or, you know, people physically attack you on the job, you get a little messed up. So I just never really was able to understand and or process feelings. So now there's like this fun little feelings chart, and it starts in the middle. It's like, are you feeling angry, sad, happy, whatever? And then it goes out, and then it's like, okay, so if you're feeling sad, are you feeling depressed? Are you feeling lonely? Are you feeling whatever? And then it goes out again, and it gives you a very specific feeling to what you're feeling. For those of us that just maybe don't understand feelings.
Yeah.
Or maybe just don't know how to whatever. And honestly, like at first I was like, okay, I'm like, this is dumb as hell. But it actually does make a difference so that I can literally put a name to it. It's, oh, I'm feeling abandoned. Oh, I'm feeling disgusted. Oh, I'm feeling elated. And it literally gives you like that specificness. So you can always go online, literally just look up the feelings wheel, and it will give you this. And even my buddy, a very good friend of mine also, me and him just recently kind of reconnected. We haven't really seen or talked to each other in a few years. And he was like, have you heard about the feelings wheel? And I was like, bitch, I totally have. It was like, you know, so that's always a good thing for mental health as well, to just kind of identify what you're feeling so that you can address it appropriately.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. We're doing this podcast. I'm in the back seat of a crew truck right now.
I can tell. I can see that.
Well, I've done a lot of them like that, especially in Fort Mac, you know, in camp and stuff like that. The Wi-Fi is not the greatest.
I apologize. I'm on my balcony here in downtown Grand Prairie, so you're going to hear some fucking loud-ass trucks going by.
Whatever. Yeah, and the Wi-Fi thing is coming to an end because probably by the time this episode comes out, we had a guy sponsor the podcast with Starlink. So yeah, man, he got the Starlink and he's paying for the monthly fees for that. Shout out to Tracy Chabot, man, and Chabot Resource Management, I think is it. And he's a consultant in the oil patch. So yeah.
And I've been thinking about getting my own Starlink as well. Like, there's so many times I go out and I just don't have the service. Like, I can't even use like friggin', you know, like to find an LSD or anything like that because I'm just like, oh.
Yeah.
Yes.
He reached out to me and he's like, man, I love what you're doing talking with mental health in the trades and blue collar in the oil field. And he's like, I'm trying to get my guys to open up more about it. But he's like, I don't know where to start. And he's like, it's good to see, you know, guys like yourself out here talking about it and sharing. And that's a good place to start. So he's like,
yeah, it's, man, so important.
Yeah. Oh, man, it is. It is. You know, I realized, you know, when I was getting messages from other guys saying, man, I listened to that episode and like it changed everything. And I, you know, thank you for not, thank you for sharing that. Thank you for talking about it. And, you know, I've had a couple like therapists on, you know, Colton from there and from Archangel Therapy and whatnot, mental health addictions and stuff like that. Yeah, man, it's been, man, since the last time you were on 70 episodes ago, man, we
I know. Like I said, it's literally half. And so it's like I came in halfway through and now I'm back on the other half, which is kind of fucking cool.
Yeah.
And you're not wrong. Like the mental health in general. Okay, so like me as a health professional, like I'm a paramedic, right? So, you know, we take, you know, mental health first aid and everything like that. But also being in the oil field is a completely different animal. Mental health is such a difficult thing. It's like when you hurt your body, when you break a bone, when you can physically see it. So mental health is so stigmatized because our brain is actually who we are. It's the most important organ of the whole human body. But when something's wrong with it, you can't necessarily see it. Therefore, a lot of people disregard it. When mental health is healthcare, regardless. And the oil field, unfortunately, you know, you're away from your family, you're working long hours. You may be around people who in and of themselves have their own demons to deal with. So therefore, you almost kind of feed off of it. Drug use, all of that stuff that kind of runs rampant within our industry only feeds to that. So the fact that you are advocating for mental health and trying to connect people with that is a big deal. And like I mentioned in our last podcast, like the suicide rate amongst men and male workers, especially in the oil field, is astronomical. Astro-fucking-nomical. So what you're doing is it's a service. And I'm glad that people are appreciating that for sure.
You're a medic, right?
I'm a paramedic. Yeah.
What do you see in that regard, you know, with mental health and stuff like that? As a medic, what are you noticing in the field? You know, what are you seeing, you know, at field level?
So that's actually a very interesting question because there's been a lot of times that I have responded to somebody who, for example, feels like they're having a heart attack. They literally feel like they're having a heart attack. They have pressure in their chest. Their blood pressure's up. Their pulse rate is insane. And they're like, I feel like I'm having a heart attack. But once you attach the 12 lead to them, so the 12 lead gives you like end tidal CO2. It gives you literally how your heart is beating. Like it shows you that. That's an interesting question because in most and maybe like 75% of the heart attacks that I've dealt with on oil field sites, 75% of those were not actually heart attacks and were more panic attacks and anxiety related.
Wow.
Absolutely. Yeah. So like you're talking guys in their 60s, you're talking guys in their 30s and they're like, I feel like I'm having a heart attack. So when I'm talking to them or when I'm analyzing them, you know, you ask them questions like, what are your symptoms? What are your allergies? What are your medications? But sometimes what we may miss is like, what's going on at home? What's going on with you? What are you dealing with? And yeah, 75% of them are not heart attacks. The other 25% most definitely are. But yeah, I do see that as a medic. Sorry? Well, that too. Yeah. Actually, I have had one guy and he thought he was having a heart attack and it just turned out to be really wicked indigestion. So that is actually camp cooking. But it's very interesting.
Because I'm at that age now, right, where I got to start watching what I eat. And I don't know if I said this yet or not on the podcast, but like what I was going through last year, it came to a head on Christmas Eve, right? And my wife and I, it came to a head, right? And we had some interesting conversations and shit. And I firmly believe that if I did not, you know, figure my shit out and get better mentally and physically at the same time, my wife and I probably would have just given up. That like, there's no
For
way.
Sure.
And I probably
Your physical health goes hand in hand with your mental health.
Oh, yeah.
Take those walks. Do that workout, whether you like to or not. It makes a big difference. That rush of endorphins, huge difference.
I firmly believe that I probably would have been dead by now. Just the way I was feeling, and like, if I had to go any more time feeling that way, like, it would have been, for sure, I would have been dead or had a serious health injury, for sure, health scare.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I mean, even same thing with me, like, since we last spoke, so we spoke May of last year, I believe, is the last time that we did our podcast.
Yeah, roughly.
Yeah. So since then, so at that time, I was just doing technical rescue and being a paramedic. So since then, I have had a role change or promotion or whatnot. So now I'm a project coordinator. I'm a medical coordinator. I am a technical rescue lead, field supervisor, and a medic. So the stress that kind of went along with that is very fucking real in all generality. So like planning turnarounds and shutdowns and stuff like that kind of gets to you a bit. And, yeah, I mean, like in my instance, again, like being a newly separated individual, I wouldn't necessarily put it on that. Other people made their choices, but, the oil field can do a lot of things to a lot of people.
Yeah. Oh, fuck yeah. Yeah, if you're not ready for it, right? If you're not ready for, you know, a lot of kids come out. That's what we talk about a lot. You know, a lot of guys come out and they're like, oh, me tough, me can lift pipe. Like, good
for you.
Oh,
man.
You're physically tough. It's not the physicality that gets you, though, right? It's like we talk.
That's not what takes you out. Not at all. Yeah, it's your mind. Your mind is more powerful than anything.
Can you handle a 12-hour day in minus 40? Can you handle weeks away from your kids and everything you love, and you handle not knowing, you know, like, can you handle the phone rings on your second day off out of 7 and it's like, oh, I gotta go back to work, I'm sorry.
Yep. Can you come back? Absolutely. And I mean, honestly, like, that probably was a factor in my situation. I think also, like, there's not very many women in the oil field to begin with, let alone like when you start kind of climbing the ladder and then your partner, who again works very hard in the oil field.
Yeah.
And you kind of surpass that at some point, because, you know, and that can be difficult as well for them. So, I mean, not much you can do, really. Although, to be fair, okay, so when I planned my first project, my first turnaround, I won't say the plant, I won't say the company, but it was, there was like 900 people on site. So I had to have 120 of my personnel on site, which I had to like hire on and everything like that. So during that time, it was extremely stressful. And I was just like, well, this is my first turnaround that I've ever planned. What the actual fuck? It was like being baptized by fire. Cause like since then I haven't planned a turnaround that big, but like that was a fucking wow. You know? But yeah, it definitely, you know, made things difficult, I guess.
One of my favorite videos that I've seen of yours recently, you don't post too many videos, but like, you know, the one video that I saw of yours recently that I really, really like is when the camera's moving around you in slow motion and you're just like...
Yeah, I'm like doing my thing. Yeah, so...
That just gets the endorphins going, you know? Like, I was like, yeah, fuck yeah.
It does. And then, you know, like the German dance music definitely helps that as well. Yeah. So where that was, so our company, not only do we do oil and gas, but up here in Grand Prairie, we give or donate our medical services to company events or community events. So that was actually taken at a safe grad. So all these high school students are graduating, which my graduation sucked in comparison to this, but they needed a fucking medic. So like these kids are allowed to drink because the drinking age in Alberta is 18, not 19. And they had like a mechanical bull. They had like a paintball laser tag kind of inflatable thing. And so they're like, yeah, we need a medic. So my company was like, off you go. I'm like, okay, I love that for me. So I'm going to start at like, you know, 8 p.m., go till like 5 a.m. kind of thing. And yeah, most of my injuries were basically just kids drinking too much, to be fair. But the cool thing about that situation, so they had that like 360 photo booth, and I was like, hey, can the paramedic do it? And they're like, sure. So I'm just like doing my thing. The coolest thing about it, though, was the kids weren't allowed to have their phones. They were allowed to bring their own alcohol, but they had to check their phone in. So a lot of the kids that I was talking to, they're like, yeah, normally, like, when we go to parties and stuff, like, people are just there looking at their phone, doing their thing. Here, it was so cool. It was, like, almost being back in high school in, like, the early 2000s, where, like, me and you were born the same year. So we remember being in high school at that time. Okay. And, like, nobody, there's, like, no camera phones, no nothing. Nobody's on their phone. And they were all just, like, living in the moment for the first time. And it was actually kind of cool to see. So, like, I'm there, like, doing my job. I was also kind of really appreciating the environment that they created, which was really fun.
I'd get absolutely beat up right now if there were camera phones back in high school. I around in grade 12 on shoes with wheels on the bottom.
Yeah. Oh, you were a wheelie kid?
I convinced my dad to buy me some wheelies. And I fucking rolled around the school on wheelies, man. Like, man, those were so, like, looking back, that they're so stupid, you know?
I mean, to be fair, like, looking back on me as well, like, I was, like, queen goth. Like, I was, like, it was fucking, like, it was its own thing, too. So I'm kind of glad.
You still kind of are the Night Witch and...
A little bit.
Either, you know what I mean? Like,
I'm oil field goth now, though. That's a difference.
You should go work for, like, Goliath or something. Like, you know what I mean?
Right? Just have a cool-ass name. And also, like, our company, so, like, they provide medical for that kind of thing. But I, so what was it, June, I also get to go out and be a rodeo medic. Nice. So, so they donate us, like, you know, donate our services and stuff. And I get to spend like weekends at these different rodeos, which is great for me as a medic because people get really fucked up at rodeos. Like it keeps you on your toes for sure. I had to call stars. Like,
yeah,
I had to call stars 4 times. They landed twice. Like it was, it's crazy. Yeah. And it's always nice.
They like Angela back road trucker. Angela, she's been on my podcast twice. And she, he recently got into rodeos women rodeo, or I don't know what the fuck, but I work with a guy in Fort Mac actually in the wintertime who spends his summer bull riding. And
yeah,
he's taking horns to the head. He recently, like a couple weeks ago, sent me a picture. He's in a hospital. He dislocated his thumb. A hoof came down on his thumb. The bone sticking out. He got it stitched up, replaced. 2 days later, he joined them back on the road.
Has
metal rods all over his body. This guy's like Terminator.
Oh, yeah. Like, those fucking guys, like, yeah. And the thing is, too, it's like, they don't want to come to you. As the paramedic or whatever, they don't want to have to go to you. So, like, they do F themselves up. And, like, I'm not going to chase you down. You got to come and see me, right?
Yeah.
But one of the most interesting, so like I can't give too many details just because of like HIPAA violations or whatever. But so I had a guy, he fell off of his Bronco. So he was riding a Bronc, and the Bronc didn't hit him or anything. It was just how he fell. So once he hit the ground, he was wearing a helmet and everything, but because of how he hit, there's something called coup contre coup. So like when your head moves, it's literally your brain moves inside of your skull. Yeah. So once he hit the ground, he immediately did this. He like postured. And I was like, oh, fuck. Like immediately. I couldn't run into the ring to get him because it wasn't safe because the Bronc was still doing its thing. I'm yelling at them not to move him, but the pickup men come and they pull him out of the ring. Okay, cool. So he comes to my ambulance. And he's sitting there, he's talking to me. 100%, he's answering all of my questions, everything is good. I check his pupils aren't responding. That's a big deal. Big fucking deal. So I'm like, okay, I'm gonna call stars, you know? And he's like, no. He's like, I could just get a ride to the hospital. I'm like, no, buddy, you can't. I'm like, this is whatever. So he's talking to me. So now 10, 15 minutes go by. I'm talking to him, and all of a sudden, he just stops, and he just goes, "Whoa, how did I get over here?" he was talking to me, awake and aware, and then he comes to while he's talking to me. He doesn't remember getting on the horse. He doesn't remember coming over to the ambulance. He came to even though he was awake and aware. That's scary shit. That is a big fucking deal. And I'm like, okay, buddy. And then the first thing he asked me, he's like, "When can I get on a horse next?" I'm like,
"Not for a while, my man." Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to be a hot minute.
Hang out here. You know what? We'll get you one of those wooden rocking horses you can ride at home. You know, it's like
the those hobby horses? That's what we're doing now.
Be like the AHL, you know, NHLers, they get hurt, they got to spend maybe some time down in the AHL before they come back, you know? Like,
absolutely.
We're going to get you a rocking horse, you just sit in one spot, you rock on that horse a little bit.
You know? Just hang out, my man. Oh, yeah, yeah, and that's always really nice. Like, I love doing the rodeo circuit, so I've done the rodeo circuit out here for probably 3 years, and I love doing it, because it, like, keeps me on my toes. As an oil field medic, unfortunately, you don't get a lot of patient contacts. Not everybody fucks themselves up every day, but at a rodeo, somebody fucks themselves up every day. So it keeps my competency up, which is great.
Shout out to the medics in the oil patch, man. You know, like, I've had to use them a couple times. You know, this past winter, I had to use one. You know, I broke that ankle. I dislocated. So I dislocated out of talonavicular dislocation is what it's called. And the ball connects my foot to my leg, dislocated.
And the fibia, yeah.
I jumped out, and my foot inverted, and I slid into a rut, got talonavicular dislocated, and then when I got up, I'm like, "Ooh, that feels weird," and I tried to take a step, and I immediately fell down.
And no shit, man.
Support it, so I broke the fibula, because there's nothing there to support it. I dislocated two bones and I broke two bones and I didn't feel a fucking thing. It was minus 30. And then by the time that I could, by the time I thought I would feel shit, I was in the back of an ambulance, fucked up on fentanyl. It was great.
Oh yeah, they probably fucking snowed you. So when they snow you, it's fentanyl, ketamine, and Ativan. Oh, you're snowed, my man. That's what we call it. We call it, it's like, dude, just fucking snow them. So when they say snow them, you're about to have a great time.
Damn, I really am oil field now. Yo, man, I've got an addiction. You know, it's crazy, man. Crazy. Hey, I'm in the back seat of my coworker's truck right now, and I think he forgot something. He's coming out to get something here.
Okay, let's say hi to him. Let's
say hi. Yeah.
Come say hi, my man.
Hey, come say hi.
Come say hi.
He's coming to say hi. He left his water in the truck. Devin, say hi. How are you?
Hey, my man. Good. How about you?
Rastafari, you know.
Rastafari. This guy's a rapper.
Rasta.
This guy's
a rapper. You rap?
Yeah. He makes good music. He's from Jamaica.
Oh, tight. Okay. Most of the people I know are from Trinidad and Tobago. Can you hit me with something real quick before you leave?
The winter gone, my friend. A summer time again. Everybody link again. A barbecue weekend. You know, like winter, me get frostbite for me 10 finger. Me car not starter with his father. Me plug in the car like me phone charger. I smear scraper for me window. You know much.
Me no like winter, me get frostbite for me 10 finger. Me car not starter with his father. Me have to plug in the car like me phone charger. I smear scraper for me window. You know how much time I fi buy wiper. If you want feel cold, come a Alberta. This winter me gonna Jamaica. Beautiful sun and natural water.
Love it. Damn, that was a fucking banger right there. I'm here for it.
Guy's music video is coming up. He's got a bunch of tunes.
Well, let's hype him up. Okay, so your music video is coming up. So what's your name for, like, music? What's your music name?
Rankin.
Okay, so Rankin's music video is coming up. He hits the reggae. Yeah. That's legit. I fucking love reggae too, so, like, I'm here for it. Love that. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, it's all good, you know. Work a blessing on thing, right?
I love
Devin. You gotta do something you love. What's his name?
His name's Devin. Our Devin. Wives are best friends, man. Like, yeah. And our kids go to school together.
So is he your work husband or what?
I don't know.
Work husbands are a very real thing. Don't get me wrong, and I don't mean that in like a weird way. It's like, but I feel like every dude has like has a work husband, essentially, where you're like, this is my guy. I know I can trust him for anything. And the thing is, actually, I have a buddy of mine. His work husband just passed away, and he's kind of like, man, dealing with that.
Yeah, that would be
work husband, eh?
Yeah, like, it's hard. I mean, his family actually, though, like, called him, and he's like, hey, like, can you make his urn? So he's, like, welding and, like, using different woods and, like, bronze and stuff to literally make an urn for him, which is pretty cool. So, aww, appreciate your work, husbands.
Hell yeah. No, Devin, Devin's good shit.
So what's your name?
Yeah, man. Leanna. Yes.
She eats fire.
Oh yeah.
I do eat fire. I do that.
Fire.
I eat fire among all the other weird ass things that I do.
Oh, it's all good,
my man. What?
She's from Grand Prairie.
You're from Grand Prairie.
I'm originally from Ontario. I used to live in Edmonton. I just moved to Grand Prairie last month.
We were just in Hythe working. Okay, so.
Okay. Oh, really? Okay, well, okay. Next time you guys are up this way, you at least have to hit me up so we can go to, like, Better Than Fred's or something and get a drink.
Yeah. We stopped.
I'm down, because I got...
We stopped at Crooked Creek on the way back, him and I.
Oh, wait, you got to get those donuts, man. Okay, Crooked Creek, shout out. I got buddies that they do pipelining out in Beaver Lodge, so, like, everybody likes to kind of get together. Actually, Better Than Fred's is, like, a block away from my place, which is cool.
That's all right. That's how it is. All right, you know, man, keep up your guys' time still. You know?
Absolutely.
Yes, sir.
You know?
Yeah. I will virtually fist bump you.
Yeah, it was nice talking to you, Anting. You see?
You know it, my man. You keep on keeping on.
Yeah, you know what time it is.
Absolutely.
All right.
He wants to know what kind of tattoo you got here.
It's an owl.
Okay. Yeah.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that.
Just keep old. Stay young. Don't get old.
He says, hey, don't sit in one spot and collect mold.
I never sit in one spot and collect mold. I'm a rolling stone. Don't collect no moss.
Yeah, we'll just wrap him just now anyway.
Yeah, this guy rhymes all day. We just rap back and forth all day.
Oh, man. What is it? I remember when I used to live with my sister during COVID, she used to, like, videotape me because I got laid off. So, like, she's like, okay, come and live with me because, like, I wasn't hydrovacing back then. And so I was like, well, she's putting me up. So, like, I would cook dinner, make sure her house was clean and whatever. She used to take videos of me, like, fucking gangster rapping in the kitchen. So I'd be, like, making, like, a bitchin'-ass meal, and I'd just be, like, you know, hitting, like, some Hollywood Undead, like, just some, like, really, like, nasty-ass lyrics, just, like, going at it. And, yeah, God love it.
Hell yeah.
All right, you take care. I will see you one of these days.
You too, my man.
All right, talk.
Yeah, man. Yeah. All right, man. I love that guy, man. That guy is awesome. His son's actually been in the background of one of my podcasts in the early days, right? Like, I did with Uncle Hack and Dougie Snakes together. He was my road like fucking 4 years ago. And
Uncle Hack, what's he fucking up to these days? Like, he did and didn't go off the map, but I know that he's like stirring up some shit.
I think,
but I mean, that's what you do.
Yeah, just touring around.
Yeah, actually, Uncle Hack. So the Danger Cats. I don't know if you're familiar with Tanner Bowser. I think we talked about this last time. He fought in the UFC. He's from Bonnyville.
Yep.
Good friend of his. Yeah, don't play fucking frisbee with that guy. He will fucking smoke your ass. I think it was like 4 or 5 years ago. We were playing like glow in the dark frisbee with Tanner, and yeah, no, he fucking whips that thing like it's like a fucking deadly weapon, man. Don't play frisbee with Tanner Bowser.
I got a question for you.
Sure.
Here? Hey, so what kind of boots do you rock when you go to work?
Oh, okay. Let me go look. So when it comes to rubber steel toe boots, I like Kofras because in minus 50, they don't stiffen up as bad as like Baffin's or Dunlop. What am I wearing right now? Oh, I'm wearing Helly Hansen's.
Oh, shit.
Those are my work boots.
Oh, yeah.
Helly Hansen's, I like the fact that they're light because I do a lot of climbing. So, like, lots of, like, ladder cages, towers, stuff like that. So I like a light boot. Now, a buddy of mine recently recommended Red Wings just because of their, if your Red Wings fuck up, they will, repair them, replace them, whatever. So once these ones are cooked, I am actually genuinely considering Red Wings. I do like a boot that has a good heel on it, like a square heel, just so that I can hook ladders a little bit better.
Hell yeah. I've been rocking my Rock Roosters lately, which is a company that reached out to me, and they sponsor the podcast now. And you know what's crazy is, like, man,
they're called Rock Roosters.
Rock Rooster, yeah. I've been able to give back.
Okay.
Yes, like with Brasco Safety and NWP Safety and Rock Rooster Footwear, and Yeah, so if you visit, it's across the bottom there now, rockroosterfootwear.com.
Rock Rooster, I'm going to have to look into it because honestly, these boots are going to be cooked here shortly. So, like, what's their winter shit like? That's a big thing.
I'm going to figure out what their winter shit is like here right away. I'm going to order something for the winter. But I ordered a pair of these. They sent them out to me. And if you use code FROST15, you save 15% on your work boots. Man.
Look like I'm going to be getting some Rock Roosters at 15% off, so y'all should also do the same.
Listen, like, in the last 70 episodes, right, I've got to give back to the community, my community of blue-collar men and women in so many crazy ways, you know what I mean? Like, the Rock Rooster boots, save yourself 15% on boots.
Yeah.
And NWT, I've gotten codes, and they've given me brand new PPE to give away to the PPE bin in camp. And it's been insane, and just being able to give back, that means so much, because as well as I do, young guys come in, they don't know anything, what they're going to need fully. And, saving 15% on a $300 pair of boots is, it's a game changer.
Well, and these towns aren't boom towns anymore. Like, back in the day, they would pay for your tickets, they'd pay for your PPE, they would pay for, like, your LOA, like, all that stuff. Now they're cutting down on fly in, fly out. They don't pay for your tickets to come in. They don't pay for your PPE anymore. You're expected to show up on site with that PPE, so... Yeah, absolutely. Being able to save money on it is like a big deal. Absolutely.
Yep. Absolutely. I love that. I love that so much that, Rock Rooster reached out and was like, hey, man, you want to collab? And I'm like, fuck yeah, let's do it. And these boots, man, I've had them all summer. I didn't think I was going to get to use them, right? I didn't know when I was going back to work. And then I got the green light. And I'm like, fuck yeah, my Rock Roosters are sitting there brand new in the box. I'm sliding them on.
Nice. Yeah, well, honestly, like I said, mine are about to be cooked. So, I mean, like, I'll give Rock Rooster a try. Like, if they can help me climb up, 150-foot towers and, like, go in and fucking go into tanks and, like, whatever, I'm here for it.
Fuck yeah. And that's the beauty of it, right? Like, it's pretty insane. And, yeah, man, I love that stuff. But and I don't know. Yeah, it was. The Mudman sponsored the podcast last time you were on, right? Yeah.
I don't know if they did or not. That's a good question.
Mudman's been sponsoring the podcast since episode 14, and you came on 70. Yeah, they did.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was like, but they have. Oh my god, this is the best part. So you know what viscosity is, right?
I do.
Okay. What's
viscosity? It is the thickness and flow rate of a liquid.
Yeah, so the thickness of your load, right? Like, how thick is your load?
Why do you gotta say it like that, my man?
Well, because I'm prepared and my name is Dick, right? So, like,
I guess. I mean, yeah, and the fact that you even choose to go by Dick as opposed to, like, Richard, I mean, You made that choice.
I did. It's been probably one of the most best decisions of my life, and we'll get into that later. But there's a bunch of podcasts, and he deals in the thickness of your load, you know. And as a man in my mid 30s, my load's never been thicker, right? And it's true. It's fucking true. The zinc, man. So, like, you know, the Mudman sponsors the podcast for all your drilling fluid and laboratory testing equipment needs. You know, www.mudmanmarket.com. The last time we did a podcast, I was recording everything on my phone back then, right? Like everything. And that was part of the problem with the audio. Not only did the mic and the headset not work, but I was using my phone. And, you know, when I was using the phone, if someone called me or whatever, it would cut the feed, right? So the podcast would go dark. Well, the Mudman, you know, the original sponsor with the headset, right? And last summer, he sponsored me. He gave me or donated or whatever this the MacBook Pro, right? And the MacBook Pro.
Oh, good for you.
I record fully on the MacBook Pro now. My phone's over here. I don't need it. People can call. I can ignore. And I can edit, right?
Always ignore.
See, last time if we were recording and it cut out, right, you would listen to that back on the podcast because I wouldn't edit that out. Now, if you know the little bit of audio issues that we had at the beginning there a little bit, you're not even going to know they were there, right? And like, you know, none the wiser, right? And that's the Mudman, you know what I mean? Like, I love that guy. Shout out to that guy.
Yeah, I mean, it's always good to have people in your corner for sure, and that appreciate what you're doing, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. So I wanted to ask you a question. And it's what you said back at the beginning about, you know, you have to earn a nickname. You can't give yourself one.
That's right. Yeah.
I put you on the spot right here, right now. What's mine?
Oh, shit. Okay. Oh, wow. You really are putting me on the spot. You son of a bitch. Yeah, okay.
I want to know what you're going to, what you would call me out in the field. What, like,
usually these nicknames don't come right away, right? It's like after you've worked with somebody, so I gave Decibel his nickname because we were drinking on a picnic table, and he's a very loud and very opinionated individual. Yeah. And so we were down in Hardisty, Alberta, doing some tanks, and we were drinking after work, and he was just like kind of going off, and I was like, okay, man, like fucking simmer down, Decibel. And that's how that kind of fucking happened, right? So I do like that our nicknames come, or not nicknames, call signs come from like working with them. So since I haven't worked with you, I understand. Okay, so you're a fluid hauler. Your last name is Frost. You like to go by Dick. So, oh my goodness. Honestly, that's interesting. That's a really fucking good question. Hold on, I've got something brewing. Let me simmer here for a hot minute.
I'm waiting for it.
Okay. Part of me wants to fucking call you Twin Cities. I don't know why. That makes like no fucking sense.
Whoa.
But yeah, Twin Cities. I think that would be your name.
Twin Cities. All right.
You live in one, you work in the other. You're fucking Twin Cities. I don't know, because I was thinking like Windy City. Like, I don't fucking know. I can't explain it.
Speaking of the Windy City, I did drive 23 hours this in May. I was going to the wedding, and I drove 23 hours to Chicago. We went through the States, and I went and I sought out the bean just to prove to my wife that I could find the bean and flick the shit out of it.
Oh, that big shiny fucking bean? Yeah, okay. So, and it wouldn't even be plural. It would just be Twin City. So okay. Your call sign would be Twin City. I don't know why. I can't fucking explain it. Like, part of me was going to be like, you know, something to do with frost, something to do with cold. But no, my brain's just like, no, you're fucking Twin City.
Hey, you know, like, I'm all right, I feel it. All right. There's a vibe there.
I don't know why. I fucking can't explain it, man. Twin City. That would be your fucking call sign. Yeah.
I have a coworker we call DeWalt Battery, or his name's DeWalt, because he eats all night and only lasts half the morning. So
Yep.
Yeah.
Or you call somebody fucking fingers because they're on a whole hand.
Yeah, there's that one.
Yeah, that's pretty straight.
There's a lot of good ones out there. That you ever see that guy on TikTok who sits in his backhoe and he fucking just rattles off coworkers' names? He makes the videos.
Yeah, I love that guy.
Yeah, we follow each other. I'm trying to get him on the podcast. That'd be a good episode, I think.
I hope he gets on. Like, that would be pretty legit, honestly.
Fuck yeah.
Like,
I was trying to get Mike Rowe last time.
I know. So how's that going?
It's not.
Fucking,
it's not going.
Fucking
on.
Guy.
Fucking guy.
I'm gonna blow him up, man. I'm just gonna like just start harassing him like every week. Send him a fucking message and be like, Mike Rowe, get your life together.
So I found out that Mike Rowe has a very large appearance fee. And
oh, okay.
Includes a virtual one too. If you want them on the podcast, it's not as expensive, but if you want them in person, it's around $200,000 to $300,000, right?
Fair enough.
Hey man, that guy has earned the right to do that. You know what I mean? Like,
oh, absolutely. And honestly, I'm kind of going through something similar too. So I've been planning on breaking a Guinness Book of World Records because, like, ever since I was a kid, I wanted to be in the book, right?
Okay.
So as a fire performer. You know, you've seen some of my videos and stuff like that.
I watched
it. And, yeah, right. Oh yeah. Well, I did it on the last podcast too.
Yeah.
So
I took it down for unsafe acts.
Yeah. Because I was eating fire. Yeah, absolutely. So the current world record holder for the most fire wicks attached to the human body for a 10-second burn is like 30 wicks, which is like fucking nothing. Like, I almost do that on a regular day. So I think I can break it with 58 actually. Okay. So that's kind of what I'm planning to do. I'm planning to do a Guinness Book of World Records up here. And I have a lot of friends in like the circus community when I used to be part of a circus in Toronto. And a lot of them are like, we'll come up. And then the one guy, he's like, well, the guy who holds the world record for the most fire eaten in a minute, he's like, that guy's an asshole, and I want to fucking break that record too. So we're gonna try and double Guinness World Record it up here in Grand Prairie, and yeah. So I've got friends who do like fire hula hoop, fire whip, like they're magicians, they do all sorts of stuff. So I'm hoping in the next year, now that I've called this city home, to like put on some kind of large performance during maybe one of their festivals or whatever, and then we can break. But the reason what made me think of that was because to have an actual Guinness World Record officiant show up is like $10,000 for them to like show up, officiate it, and give you the plaque right there is like $10,000. So you have to do the record, show them all the video proof, give them all this paperwork. Like, they've approved me for the paperwork, but it's a fucking stack of paperwork.
Rattle off the GoFundMe link. Let's go. Let's get this done.
Oh, so I need to go. Actually, I can do it for pretty cheap. I think my GoFundMe would maybe be like $1,000. Maybe.
Let's
to get
it.
Stuff professionally. Okay. So, all right. I'm going to do a GoFundMe link after this. I just need $1,000 to get some stuff like welded and fabricated. Maybe for a sexy outfit. You know, because it can't be flammable. So you know what? $1,000 for like a sexy leather ass outfit, and we'll just do that.
So as a man, you know, I can't get away with shit. You know, and that's
no, you can't. No, we absolutely can.
It's very unfair on the internet. Women are like, hey, I want followers. Hey, look at my sexy outfit. You know, I want money. Look at my sexy outfit. As a man, I do that. I'm probably like, going to jail. That's not true. There's a very big gay community out there that stands firmly behind me, and I don't mean that in that way. Probably in that way if I really wanted them to, but like, hey, shout out to the gay community.
You're absolutely right. Like the thirst trap situation, like as a woman, yeah, like I mean, you see my Instagram, like I'm not a thirst trap person to begin with, but I get it. Like, if you, like, I mean, you want to sell your farts or your bathwater in a jar, people are going to buy it because the world is fucked up in that rate. But also, apparently, there's, like, what is it? The lonely man epidemic, right? Have you heard about that?
Of course.
Yeah, like, that's a thing.
Yeah. Yeah, the incels and stuff like that and whatnot.
I mean, and also to be fair, okay, so like in my current situation, I am now single for the first time in 13 years. I haven't been single since I was 23 years old. It's not that I'm looking to date, but just it's a fucking dumpster fire out there. I'm going to let you know right now, I'm never going to get a dating app. Like when I first got with my soon-to-be ex-husband, like Plenty of Fish was the only thing. There wasn't like Hinge, Tinder, Bumble, fucking whatever the hell else was out there. Like it wasn't a thing.
Yeah.
And I know going forward, I'm so not even. Yeah, I'm not getting a dating app. I don't care.
I heard it's a tire fire out there. I heard it's a dumpster fire in the dating world. And I've been with my wife for 20 years. And, you know, I never want to. You know what? Honestly, like, do you have TikTok, right?
I don't, no.
Download
TikTok. I don't have TikTok. I don't have Snapchat. I don't have dating apps. I don't have WhatsApp. I'm kind of old school. I'm like, I got Facebook, Instagram, and that's pretty much it.
I do this thing on TikTok Live once in a while called Matchmaking with Dick. And, you know, like.
Okay. I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Random people from the comment section come in and they come in live and they pop up in the box. And I'm like, hey, so what's your credit score? Do you like it? What do you do for work? Are you a messy eater? Are you a passionate lover? You know what I mean? Like, you know.
Okay.
Are you the type of man that, like, when I come, it's done? Or, like, when I come, you know, we keep going.
Right? Okay, okay. So, are you inviting me to do matchmaking with Dick? Is that what's happening right now?
Dick, you need to get on the TikTok. You need to download TikTok.
Oh, my God.
Profile. I need to come on matchmaking with Dick. You know, it's a real hoot. We have a good time with it. And you know what?
Okay, like, I'll literally do it just for the entertainment factor. I'm not expecting to find my fucking soulmate or my forever home in this situation. But you know what? The entertainment factor, I'm here for it.
In the 3 years that I've done that, you know, like, I don't do it often. But in the 3 years that I have done it and the odd time that I do it, I've hooked up three couples.
Good for you, my man. Oh, shit. Okay.
Together, it's a fucking disaster. Like, trust me. Like, you know what? They probably need therapy after. It still worked. And, you know, I think two of them, like, one couple actually didn't work out because she was in Alberta, he was in Saskatchewan, and the travel was just a lot, right?
So that's fair. That's fair.
Had they, and they were older, had they been, and we all, yeah, had they been a little bit, you know, closer, willing to budge a little bit their lives on where they lived, it would have worked out. They actually really liked each other. So, yeah, they were pretty heartbroken.
Oh, that's not bad.
Oh, yeah. Hey, I'm good at
it. Okay. Well, again, I'll come on definitely for entertainment purposes, and you never know what's going to go down.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like, and kind of in my situation, you know, it's been very recent, but people are just, you know, things weren't great when you tell close friends or family that it didn't work out. And instead of saying, I'm sorry, they congratulate you.
Honestly, one way or the other, like, I don't like that congratulations shit, because, like, you guys did love each other at one point, right? And it doesn't
absolutely
matter. To end it or not, like, if you decide to end it, that was still a hard decision to make for you.
So my decision wasn't necessarily made for me. It was, but it wasn't. But at the end of the day, so it's no contact. But the thing is it gives you time to really reflect on the relationship as a whole.
Yeah.
And you start to kind of, when you're just by yourself and you have no influence, you're like, yeah, it's kind of fucked up. You know, and then you just accept it. But you love them, you wish them well, and you know that, like, it's not a thing anymore.
Yeah.
And such is life, you know.
Ever since we were literal babies, right? Like, not actual babies, but, like, you know, like 17, right? Our final little bit of the teen years and our entire adult life, right? So, like, I couldn't picture ever, you know, not being with her, because, like, that's you know, my entire existence, really, honestly, at this point. And, you know,
and that's what I thought too. I couldn't see it any other way. Like, yeah. You are my best friend. You know me better than anybody. But again, our situation was a little bit different. And then since the no contact, a lot of things have been coming out of the woodwork that suck. It sucks to hear, but you're like, okay, well, that just solidifies like that I left for myself, you know?
Yeah. You sometimes things just run their course, right? You know what I mean?
And sometimes the flowers arrange themselves. Like, don't make plans, because if you make plans, life is going to tell you elsewise.
Yeah,
and yeah, the flowers arrange themselves. Like, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I couldn't picture, you know, because we have kids now. I couldn't picture, you know, dropping my kids off or picking them up or whatever, or walking by this one and not.
Grand Prairie, calm the fuck down. Sorry, I apologize.
No worries. And not knowing what's going on in her day to day, not having that, not giving you that information anymore, right? It's none of my business, yeah. Right? I couldn't. That breaks my heart even thinking about it, you know? Like,
I know. And that's what I thought too. And I mean, again, every relationship is different. But yeah, I was like, oh my goodness, like, we're best friends. We talk every day, whatever. And then just having that space for me. Again, you're just like, okay, I can see it. Just walk away gracefully, accept it, whatever. Everyone, and also we don't have kids in the mix either, right? Yeah. So like, so it's like, so me leaving is just,
well, you're,
I now live.
Makes it any consolation prize? You look happy. You know,
I do actually. Yeah. I mean, I'm just doing my own thing, man. I mean, yeah, just I moved closer to be. I moved out to Grand Prairie to be closer to my career, and that's all you can do is just bless them, wish them well, and such is life.
Fuck yeah! I remember this girl in Fox Creek, this woman who works at Secure there. Her and her husband, they got together while they were in active addiction, and then they broke up, right? And they had kids together, and she just, you know, she's like, I made the decision to leave. And one day we're talking, and I'm like, how are you doing? And she's like, I'm fine. It was my choice. I'm like, no, that's not what I'm asking. I'm asking, how are you, you know? Like, you might have made that choice, but I was still your husband. I was still the father of your kids. I was still your best friend at one point in time. She's like, I'm a mess. It fucking sucks. But
yeah,
active addiction, you know, like I looked at him and I didn't know him. And then I realized like, that's not the person, you know, we weren't together at any point during sobriety. Right. So I was like, that I could see that, you know, and that sucks. Right. So like relationships ending is hard in general. Right. So
it really is. And the thing is I really didn't say anything or broadcast anything to friends or family.
No,
and then now, but now recently in life, last like 2 months, I'm like, okay, I'm out. And this is why. And they're like, holy shit. They're like, that's some Anne Frank shit. Like, you hid that so well for the last 9 months.
Whoa. Was he German? Are you a
no.
German? Are you Jewish?
I'm German. No, I'm German. He's not.
Oh my God. Did he hide in the
closet
from you?
Oh, können wir bitte eine Bier haben? Nice.
Nein.
Because I remember I was telling a friend of mine, and I was like, okay, this is what happened. And so fucked up. And he was just like, so this has been going on for the last 9 months, and like, you know, you try to save your marriage, whatever. And he's like, holy shit. He's like, that's like some Jews underneath the floorboard. That's some Anne Frank shit. He's like, we had no idea. I'm like, yeah, that was the idea. Nobody would have any idea. So, I mean,
nowadays it'd be some Palestinians under the floorboard, you know?
Like, right? Wham, bam, Afghanistan, essentially.
We got some Gazans under the floorboard over here, man. You know?
Yeah. And so that's the weird thing. It's like, you know, people will come up to me and they'll be like, so how are you doing? I'm doing good. I'm doing all right. It's
you're not hiding under the floor anymore. You're not
not at all. And I mean, like, that's just life. That's literally just life. If it's okay, so this is the best way I can explain it. And I hope this helps somebody who maybe sees this podcast. This is literally the the way that I look at it, the way that friends, when I talk to them and they're going through the same thing, this is literally the same thing that I said. So a relationship is like a beloved family pet. When that relationship is dead and has died, so your beloved family pet, your dog, your cat, whatever, has died, are you going to hold
it in a bag and put the urn on the fire pit, you know? Like,
fair. But what I mean is, are you going to hold it in your arms and keep holding it until it rots and festers and turns into something that you don't recognize anymore? Or are you just going to bury it the way it is and appreciate it for what it was and the good times that it gave you? I, unfortunately, as many people do, held on to it just a little too long, and it started to become something that you don't recognize.
You either die a hero or live long enough to see yourself become the villain.
Look at your anybody who's listening to this, look at your relationships, whether it be romantic, whether it be family, whether it be whatever. Look at it as a beloved family animal that has already passed away. And are you just going to continue to hold on to it until it becomes something that's maggot infested that you don't recognize? Or are you just going to let it go and appreciate it for what it was and move on? I held on to mine just a little too long. Not too long, but just a little too long. I should have buried it before that.
You know, back in the 90s when we used to hit things to make them work again?
That's called percussive maintenance. Yeah, I get that.
Fuck, my dad
your cathode diode TVs and shit. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I used to do that to my mom, and she never worked again, you know? Like,
Whoa.
Oh, there's that family.
Back the fuck up.
Again. There's that family trauma coming out again.
You just gonna unload that family trauma? Oh, my God. Yeah, okay. We're here for that. Oh, is that what this podcast is now? It's a trauma dump?
God, and now we know why, you know, like,
but you know what, that's the biggest thing, again, because this podcast now is like more mental health for sure. Yeah. And it's, you know what, just the feelings wheel, fucking bury it when it needs to be buried, find what works for you medication wise because that's a fucking game changer too. But men, and again, we talked about this last time I was on the podcast. Like you guys are kind of more the silent victims. Like there's women shelters, but men shelters are homeless shelters.
Shit.
That's so rough. And you know what? More men are physically and emotionally abused than what they like to say. And then when they do ask for help, oh, well, go to a shelter. Is there somewhere that you can go? Well, fucking no. I got to go to a shelter.
Yeah, that's tough, man. That's tough. You and I, we have a mutual, too, that since episode 71 or whatever, we discovered we had. And you know, Kiera, rookie on TikTok and Instagram, Kiera Davik, you know, we're... You know, she, I noticed she was, you know, at a function or a medic gala or whatever.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah. So I met her at a Alberta First Responders Gala, the very first gala for that. I didn't know her prior to that. And even though I have resting bitch face, people feel like they can come to me about stuff, which is nice. I like that. And she was like, hey, this is my situation. Can you help me? And I was like, all right, bet. Let's go. I haven't spoken to her since. I just met her that one night. I helped her get out of a precarious situation, and then that was pretty much it.
I got her a job with me in Fox Creek when I worked there. I met her on TikTok. She needed a job. I got her there. And where I work in the winter now, I got her a job on there, and that's where she works right now, too. And,
Oh, well, I'm going to say hi, Kiera, if you see this. I'm glad I could help you during the First Responders Gala.
Hell yeah.
It was so interesting.
Oh, man. Yeah, no, I don't want to keep it too much longer. You know, it's getting on in time here. So
it is. Okay, so let's do two truths and a lie before we leave.
Okay. You want me to tell you
both of us. Okay. Both of us.
All right.
All right, so you have to tell me two truths and a lie, and I have to guess which one that is. And then I have to tell you two truths and a lie, and I... Oh, fuck. I wish I was more prepared, but yeah, like I brought it up and had no preparation.
Oh, this is good. This is really good.
Yeah, two truths and a lie.
Okay, all right. Wow. Wow.
Right? Yeah, yeah. Wow. Two truths and a lie. Okay. Oh, shit. Okay, fair enough. Right? I know. It's hard. It's hard to choose. And the one truth is, like, too easy. It's too easy, so that's what I'm trying to, like, get out of.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, what would I be? Two truths and a lie. Okay.
Okay, I got two truths and a lie.
Okay. Okay, give me yours first.
Okay. My wife is pregnant. I have replaced her entire, I've managed to replace her entire, whatever, fucking, you know what I'm saying. I've managed to replace her entire, her income online. And I am thinking about, you know, taking a dive and quitting my job to do content full time.
Okay, what was the last one?
Taking the dive to doing content full time.
I'm going to say the last one is a lie.
Okay.
Am I correct?
No, my wife's not pregnant.
Oh, I was going to say that one. I was totally going to say that one. And then, yeah, okay.
I've been for months about how the last time I had that much amount of time off, my wife ended up pregnant. And, like, and I discovered Cialis in that time. So, oh my God.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. Okay. So mine is two truths and a lie. Okay. So I have my two truths. Oh, what's my lie? Oh, I got to come up with my lie. Fuck. Okay. Okay. All right. So, I am close friends with Mike Myers.
Okay.
I have been stabbed.
Okay.
And I gave John Chrétien a nickname.
You didn't give John Chrétien a nickname. That one's false.
That's actually true.
Is it?
It is. I'm not close friends with Mike Myers.
Wow. Fuck, I was like, man, you gotta hook a brother up. What's John Chrétien's nickname? What did you give Chrétien?
I called him Crutchy.
Crutchy. And
okay, so when I was in high school, John Chrétien went and visited Kenner High School, which is the southern high school in Peterborough. So I left my high school that day to go down to Kenner to go see John Chrétien. And then when he was walking into the building, I was like, Crutchy! And he like gave me a high five and whatever. So then when he addressed the high school, he was just like, as you know, when he was the prime minister or whatever, he was like, as many, you know, French accent or whatever, he's like, as many of you know, my name is John Chrétien, affectionately known by one of you as Crutchy. And I was like, Crutchy!
I love that.
Yeah.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah. So yeah, no, I was stabbed on the job, gave John Chrétien a nickname, and I am not close friends with Mike Myers, but my cousin lives next door to his cottage in Bancroft. So they are close friends, but I'm
Mike
not.
Myers. Of course, Mike Myers has a fucking cottage in Bancroft.
He does. And so do all of the Bare Naked Ladies.
Man, do you know how the Bare Naked Ladies got their name?
No, I don't.
So they were playing a show in Toronto, their very first show, right? And they didn't know how to get people in the building, right? So they put billboard and people flocked in.
That's fucking smart, to be fair.
Yeah, it
is. I'll give them that.
Fuck yeah.
I'll fucking give them that.
Yeah. So I don't know. So I was doing it on the podcast actually, but so you know, to wrap up the podcast, I usually you know, I ask, you know, the Mount Rushmore question, right? You know, if you had four people on your Mount Rushmore, four people that you look up to, inspire you, who would they be and why? And I don't remember what you said last time.
I think I do remember this question, and I'll probably change it slightly. Okay, so I do remember saying, was it Norman Borlaug is one. He's the one, like, who helped eradicate a lot of, like, famine and whatever across the world. Like, so, okay, so Norman Borlaug, look him up, tight. The other one would probably be Hunter S. Thompson, fucking psychopath, great journalist. So Norman Borlaug, Hunter S. Thompson, shit, maybe, who would my other two be? That's a really good question. Shit. Okay. Norman Borlaug, Hunter S. Thompson. You know what? Let's put, like, fucking Anthony Bourdain in there. Why not?
Bourdain.
Let's throw Bourdain in there because, like, he kind of bridged gaps between cultures and stuff like that. So let's do Bourdain in that.
You're not the first person.
Yeah.
Anthony Bourdain. That's crazy. I like Anthony. I liked Anthony Bourdain, I should say.
I'm the first person to say Bourdain?
No, you're not the first person. Like,
oh, okay. Okay, so that means he belongs there. Absolutely.
He there, yeah.
Yeah, he clearly belongs there. And then, okay, so number four. Ooh, good question. Let's go with Nikola Tesla. Why not?
Why?
Because we will live... We will live to see man-made horrors beyond our comprehension. He already knew what was up.
And we have.
Not yet. It'll be worse, my man.
As millennials, we've seen many man-made horrors that, you know, beyond our comprehension. You know, and yes, it will get worse. But our generation has never seen so much atrocity. You know what I mean? We've never been a part of so much, you know.
That's fair.
We tend to see a lot of bullshit. I mean, granted, we didn't see World War One, or we didn't live through the Cold War, but we do have Y2K. We do have 9/11.
But I mean, we also, the thing is, we also have AI, which is already way beyond where we can go back, and we don't even understand what it's about to fucking
AI
do.
AI will tell you itself how it plans to take over. You just ask it. AI, man,
it's
AI.
True.
Yeah.
My friend, who's a very, like, staunch Christian as well, like, he was asking it.
Yeah.
Okay, so, like, if you're going to ask ChatGPT questions, it's basically, like, answer my questions, yes or no, very short, whatever, and then if it's a situation that you... Yeah, Apple, exactly. And, like, me and him were, like, in the rescue truck, and we're sitting there, and he's reading to me, like, the shit. I'm like, holy fuck. Okay. Yeah. I'm like, this is some real ass shit.
Yeah, and AI does help a lot. AI has helped me with the podcast quite a bit. It's cut down on, like, 10 hours of work I have to do on a podcast. You know,
and I do the same thing. Like, I have to, like, write, you know, emails or, like, job postings and stuff. And yeah, it absolutely helps me with that. But, like, in terms of, you know, you've got some people and their AI girlfriend or boyfriend, or they go to it for mental health advice and stuff like that. Like, people, you know, it gets so real that there are very dire consequences in response to that.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. AI is going to be interesting. You know, I can't remember the name of the guy. He's on Theo Von's podcast. So he created OpenChat AI. And
yeah,
he said that his own program is going to replace his job. He's like, man, like, he's like, I can't stop it now. And he's like, it's scary, but it's also very, very fun, very interesting, very insightful. But, like,
I did see, I saw an article recently, and it was like the 20 most replaceable jobs by AI and the 20 most least replaceable jobs by AI. And the least replaceable jobs, it was paramedic and embalmer. So I'm like, I'm good.
Yeah, you're an embalmer too. You did that shit, yeah.
I'm like, I'm a bit of all right, my man. Absolutely.
Hell yeah. No, good for you. You're going to be making a lot of money in the next.
No, year. No, not at all. No, I doubt it. I absolutely doubt it. I'm like, you know, it is what it is. But like, yeah, absolutely. At some point, if you do come up to Grand Prairie, we're going to have to do like a same room podcast or whatever.
Yeah. So, yes, I was going to do one. Where was I recently? I hung out with Chris Barber 2 days ago in Swift Currents when I was there. I'm in Medicine.
Right.
I was in Swift Currents 2 days ago. We hung out. We spent like 4 hours. I love that guy. Chris Barber's the shit. You know, like,
I haven't had the pleasure, but you know what? Seems like a chill ass dude.
You take out the convoy aspect of it even, and Chris Barber is a badass motherfucker, okay? Like, just
fair enough.
What happened? Chris Barber himself is the shit. That in the convoy, it's even better. But like,
you know what though? The whole convoy thing was happening even before COVID. Like, I remember driving in a fucking back truck from Bonnyville, Alberta, to Edmonton, and it was the convoy for pipelines. And our boss literally was just like, "Yeah, take this fucking back truck. Go to fucking Edmonton and be a part of that convoy." And we actually ended up on the news. They're like, we're driving by. It says Ripping Edge Hydrovac. And I'm out the fucking window. And I'm like, lay that pipe.
Yeah, lay the pipe.
Lay that pipe, man. fucking bit of all right.
Leanna, I love chatting with you. You're one of my favorite fucking people on the internet, and maybe in real life. But like, you're like
one. I'm not even really on the internet. I just pop up from time to time.
Yeah, exactly. You're one of my favorite people. You don't have a conversation with. You know, I can't wait till we can do it in person.
Absolutely. Actually, there's been a few times that like you were hanging out at West Edmonton Mall, and I'm like, I should pop in and find that motherfucker and like just actually meet in person.
Well, the thing about me is I check in places and post about being at places after
you leave. I totally get that. Absolutely.
Like I'll be somewhere and then like an hour later I'll be like, hey, I'm here. You know, this is because, you know, shit.
That's just being safe.
Yeah.
That's just being safe. That's being smart. I get it. Like, especially like, you know, you're a content creator, so people can get a little weird.
They definitely can.
I'm sure you had no... Okay. So, tell me a story real quick. I'm sure people, like, DM you or message you or whatever. Without telling too many details, what's the fucking weirdest... Because, again, you're a content creator. People see your shit. What's the weirdest, like, interaction that you've had?
You didn't hear about the gay guy?
No.
Buddy, oh my god. Buddy messages
me. Buddy, oh my god. Okay, go.
Okay, so Buddy messages me and is like, hey, he's like, I do you have an OF account? And I'm like, no, I don't. That's a cash only venture. You know what I mean? Like, if I'm gonna do
no
that,
shit.
I'll give you $100 for some private content. And I'm like, you add a zero to that and I'm fucking in, right? Buddy's like,
So he wanted some private content from you.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
And I'm like, you add a zero into there and I'm in. He's like, that's a bit pricey, but okay, I'll give you $1,000. Give me some privacy. And he gave me the parameters that he wanted. He wanted my dick out with my coveralls on. Right? And he wanted jerking off in a porta potty, jerking off in a back truck. And I'm like, bro doesn't understand my willingness to jerk off in a porta potty. I'll do that shit for free, you know? Like, I don't know.
don't they all? They all fucking do
it. I've literally done it. You know, nature's called and I've done it, right? So, like, hey, you gotta do it. Right? So, fucking, I give this guy,
fuck.
I go above and beyond for this guy. I got my tablet out and I, like, had his picture.
Oh, you actually did it?
Oh, yeah. So, like, I had a picture of him on my tablet, my phone behind me, and I'm like, It was weird. I kept going soft. I had to look at pictures of my wife the entire time. And, like, I'm like, I moaned his name a little bit. And then, like,
no, you fucking didn't. Oh, my God. You fucking didn't.
So, like, I put the tablet down. This is about, you know, about the, and I did it on his picture, right? I, like, and oh, he fucking loved that. The guy paid me a $400 tip to boot, right?
Like, okay, so you got, like, $1,400.
Yeah, for that. So it was, like, a minute and a half long. I was, the whole time, I was trying to convince my wife to talk me out of it, and she's talking me into it, right? She's like, yeah.
Because she's like, oh, my God. She's like, yeah, we need the money. Yeah. Like, what?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I literally bought my wife a new dishwasher with this money. My dick paid for our dishwasher. Every time I wash my dishes now, I'm like, yo, that.
Oh, what did I do for this? What did I do?
I've been looking for that high ever since, you know? It's like trying your first hit a week. I've been searching for
that. I feel like you're fucking with me right now, but I'm also, not, like, I know you're not. That's
if
the thing.
If this was a truth and a lie, this would be one of my truths.
Holy shit, eh? Okay, yeah. No, fair enough. And you know what? Yeah, that's one thing I can say is, like, I've never done, like, OnlyFans or, like, had anybody pay. And it's not that they haven't asked. I'm just like, nah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my God, man, like, fuck. The internet's been a wild ride, and, you know,
once you become a content creator, like, that kind of, like, opens the doors a little bit.
Some guy, okay, he was a pipeliner from fucking somewhere up near GP, and this guy, you know what, more money than brains, okay? Like, he offered me, how much was it? He offered me $2,000 to shave my mustache off on a live stream. And I'm like,
did you do it?
Yeah, I'm a live
stream. Yeah, fucking right, I would, man.
Mustache will be back. Nobody recognized me for like a week, right? I'm like, oh my God, this is the worst fucking decision ever, right? And like, yeah, he paid me $2,000. And then he gave me two, like, gifts on TikTok universes worth $1,000. Right, so he paid me $3,000. So he gave me the $3,000, and like a couple months later, he messaged me asking me if I still have that money because he needs it back.
What?
Yeah, he's like,
oh my God.
And I'm like, yeah, no kidding, man. I thought they were pretty stupid too at the time, but you know, here we are. I'm like, I literally don't have that money anymore. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, it's gone, my man. Like, it was used to pay bills, just to let you know.
Yeah,
yeah, and I mean, like,
swing with, yeah, like, it. Yeah.
After our first podcast, yeah, for sure. I definitely got DMs, absolutely. Yeah. You know, because I mean, like, that happens, right? Like, it happens, but. Not necessarily my thing. I will give some of them a fucking gold star in confidence in terms of whatever. But I'm good. Thank you.
He probably listens to the podcast. He's on my Instagram and my Snapchat. He's called the Black Sox Bandit. And he's a gay
dude. Okay.
He wants pictures of me just wearing black socks and jerking off, right? And or videos.
Oh, so he's got a specific situation going on.
He wants the black socks. Yeah, he wants it. There was another guy. His name was ML. He added me to Snapchat a couple years ago. Works in the oil patch somewhere. Found out it's actually Curl Lake. I don't mean to out him. Anyways, so
that's where I started, man. I cut my teeth at Curl Lake, fucking Wapatras, man.
So ML messages me. And every day for like 6 months, the guy sends me a picture of his dick or him, another guy touching it, or, you know, oh, yeah, yeah. He sends it to me all the time. Then one day I just open it to get rid of it. I just laugh and I move on with my day, right? And then one day he starts asking me for mine, and I'm like, no, right? And then he starts getting hornier and hornier about it. Like, I just put my cock in your mouth and your cock in mine.
Whoa.
And I'm like, bro, what the fuck? And then I deleted him, right? And then, like, a couple
of
days, he adds me back. I'm like, okay, maybe he's chill now, right? I don't know why. I add him back. It starts again. Then for a little while, he stops completely, right? And then one day, like, probably about a couple months later, he quite literally erected from the dead. He sends me another one, right? And I'm like, man, what the fuck? And he's got his coveralls on, right? And I'm like, what the hell? I looked this guy. I found him. I found him. The guy's married with children. And I'm just like, you need to stop. You need to stop this shit, you know? And I removed him off of Snapchat now, and I haven't added him back in almost a year. He's, man, the gay dudes on the internet. Hey, if it don't work out with me with women, the gay dudes are there, you know? So,
dude, it's not even that. Like, okay, so, yeah, during my time as, like, you know, like wife material and whatever, like everybody, like, not an issue, right? Like, as soon as I became single, like, you'd be shocked the people that come out of the woodwork that are like mutual friends and like whatever. And there's this one guy, came out of nowhere, and I'll give him a fucking gold star for confidence, but as a medical professional, so the unsolicited dick pic was still an unsolicited dick pic, but like medically, I'm both intrigued yet horrified. Like, why? And I mean, I'll give him props for being that confident, but it's like, why is it shaped like a fucking traffic cone? Like, what? I don't understand what I'm looking at.
Having his way with traffic cones.
No. I mean, like, just, I don't know how to explain it. So, like, I came in, and he was like, yeah, I'd like to hang out with you and whatever. And I'm just like, okay, cool.
Okay.
I don't know, but, like,
as a single woman now, how long have you been single for?
I have been single now, we're going to do the whole, like, fucking, what is it, matchmaking with dick or whatever.
Yeah.
So I've been single now for 2 months.
2 months. Okay.
But I was mentally checked out for the last 9. So like, I'm not damaged.
Have you had any fun?
Are you really fucking asking me this right now?
I'm asking, have you had any fun? Have you, you know, like, hey, you know, come on. I don't know how to word that. Have you just, you know, gotten under someone else to get over someone, you know? Like,
you fucking asking me this right now? Yeah, obviously I have.
Good for you.
Oh my god, dick, really? Like, hey,
you didn't have to answer that. You could have told me to fuck.
No, I know. I could have. Like, it's not like I'm going through like a fucking hoe phase or anything like that. But yeah, no, there's definitely, you know, someone that has like,
yeah,
is super nice and like put all my furniture.
Rich's brew, huh? You know.
Well, in my brand new apartment, you know, I had to buy all new furniture and shit like that. So yeah, he came over and like, you know, built all my stuff and whatever. And yeah.
Man, you made the guy build your furniture first. I like this.
Okay, so get this. Okay, so the thing is. He came over. I didn't ask him to, but he did. And then, so the thing is I'm like, okay. I'm like, the least I can do, aside from the other stuff. I'm like, I'm going to make you a fucking, like, roast dinner. Like, a fucking roast, like, fucking mashed potatoes, like, the fucking gravy, like, the nines. Yeah. I'm like, what?
The dude, what was that? Fucking roast. The dude got hard off the roast.
But anyway, I'm like, yeah, I'm gonna make you a fucking I love to cook, right? Like, I love to cook. So I'm like, yeah, I'm gonna make you this fucking wicked dinner. And he's like, oh, you don't have to do that, that's so much work, like whatever. I'm like, no, I'm gonna fucking do it regardless. Like, 2 hours into him assembling IKEA furniture, he's like, I get why you're making me this roast, because this fucking sucks. I'm like, yeah, it's terrible. So yeah,
nice, good for you. No, hey, good for you guys, good for him. You know, the dude got a roast out of it, you know, like he didn't just come for the poom poom, and he came for the fucking roast.
Well, he didn't know the roast is gonna, but anyway, yeah, no, it's fucking weird. Again, like, I haven't been single since I was like 23, So that's 13 years, my man. And now all of a sudden, like, you're in the wild and you're like, fuck is this?
I couldn't survive out in the wild. I would just, like, I
would don't do it, man.
Be a hermit.
I mean, I did. I had to leave, though. Like, so that's the thing. Like, my my soon-to-be ex-partner has never been dumped in his entire life. Since he was in high school, everything. He's always been the one to, like, dump somebody. So now that somebody has... What?
He leaves before he can be left.
Yeah, so, yeah, when I peaced out, he was like, well, she must have left for another man. No, my man, I left for me. But, like, he doesn't see any reason why I would have.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is, it's fucking weird. It's so... But such is life, man. I mean, like, what do? You just gotta fucking roll with it. It's water on this fridge. It's water under, water off a duck's back. Like, fucking... Quack. Like, sometimes life is what you make it. The flowers arrange themselves. Life's a garden. Dig it. All the fucking platitudes, you know? Like,
Joe Dirt.
Yep. Yeah. So, yeah. Well, coming from you live from downtown Grand Prairie.
I'm in downtown Medicine Hat, so shout out to that.
Oh, okay. Well, that I'm in a better spot than you are.
You are in a better spot.
At least it's not like Minster.
At least it's not Fox Creek.
Oh yeah, that's true. That's true. I get
Leanna,
that.
Leanna, this has been fun. Thanks for coming on again. You know, like we're gonna do it again. We gotta do it again. Maybe not.
We are.
We can't do it in 70 though. We gotta do it way sooner.
Oh, I'm down with it. Like I kind of feel like in a weird way, I'm just gonna be like one of your weird ass regulars.
Fuck yeah. Fuck yeah.
Yeah, no, like, there has to be, like, a time where it's like, okay, you know, I don't know, like, fucking, I don't know, smoke weed and then just do a podcast or whatever.
You and me the first person to get absolutely trashed and then come on the podcast, so.
Yeah, see, I haven't so much, but, like, that's the thing, though, it's like, okay, so, like, two lies and a truth, like, that works out, but it's like, we gotta challenge each other, as it were.
Oh, we will. We will. Fucking right, we will. I like it. All right, Leanna, you go do your thing. I'm gonna go call my wife and then go to bed and get ready for
work. Yeah, man.
A.M.
I'm gonna go put a fucking coffee table together and
do it alone.
Probably have a shot of the Jaeger while I do it.
Do it alone though. Don't
what?
Don't roast while you cook while you make this coffee table.
No. Okay. Yeah. No. I already made fucking chicken thighs for myself. Yeah. It's just me putting the coffee table together.
Hey, if you want, like, there's someone that can come help you. He's in GP.
Man, I'm not out here like fucking tricking men to fucking put furniture together. But like,
that sounded so bad. That sounded. So
it kind of did. It kind of did. But you know what? In all honesty, though, like, yeah, if you want to do the whole like, I'll download what is it, TikTok?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, so I'll download TikTok. We can do the whole matchmaking with dick kind of thing.
Fucking right we will.
I'm here for it.
Fucking right we will.
Oh, man, it's going to be a fucking... Not a train wreck. What's the word for it? It's going to be a circus, I think.
Shit show.
Yeah, probably.
Probably.
Absolutely. All right.
All right.
Well, you keep on keeping on, and I'm very happy to be back on, and... Yeah.
All right. You stay frosty and keep on keeping on. I should have grabbed a drink. Fuck.
Yeah. I told you to at the very beginning, what, an hour and 45 minutes ago.
Yeah, you sure did.
That's right. On you. Well, you go enjoy yourself a beer and.
This might be too late for that now. But yeah, you have a good night.
Love, peace, and grease.
Love, laugh, poster bath. All right.
That too. That too. All right, man. Take care.
Bye.
You too.